easily navigate your retirement transition with tips, tools, and strategies on this edition of Golf Life Navigator's Guide to Success with your hosts, Fred Altvader and Jason Becker.
Welcome to another edition of Golf Life Navigator's Guide to Success. We have another great show lined up for today, filled with timely information and help with Florida real estate questions. We have several interviews from the PGA Merchandise Show that was held January 26th through 29th in Orlando, Florida. We're also going to learn more about Gulf Harbor Yacht and Country Club located in Fort Myers, Florida, from their general manager, Lonnie Eberhard. Plus, we will chat with Florida real estate expert Nishika Green, who is a broker and chief compliance officer with Gulf Life Properties. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, president and co-founder of Gulf Life Navigators, Jason Becker. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Fred. It was wonderful seeing you last week, and, well, I would say warm and sunny Orlando, but it was quite the opposite. It was rain and cold Orlando.
Well, that was okay, though, because we were inside working. I know you were very busy. You had a full sheet of interviews for the two or three days that you were there, and I did also. But we did have a chance to chat a little bit at the show last week. Jason, for me, the PGA Show is always an opportunity to network with golf industry professionals from around the world and see all of the new products that will be available in golf shops next year. What stood out for you at this year's show?
You know, every year I go, it's been, 12 years now in a row. I'm in awe. The first day you walk in and you hit that floor and you look to your left and you can't see the end of it, and you look to your right and it's certainly the same. And it just seems like it grows, and the amount of people that come through there from around the world is just tremendous. And so what it gives me as a golf professional is, you hear so much negativity about the industry and a dying sport and whatnot, but certainly don't feel that way when you're in the middle of the PGA Show in Orlando. As you can see, it's alive and well. Every gimmick and gadget and service imaginable is certainly there, and it's just fun to be a part of. I look forward to it every year. Going up for the show in January.
Yeah, I have to agree. I thought the vibe was really strong on the floor this year. Any vendor that I talked to was very upbeat. And we're going to have a series of interviews with some of the Golf Life Navigator people that were there at the show that we talked to, and we're going to be playing those. So, and I think to a man, to a person, everyone thought the same thing. This year's show seemed to be very upbeat, very positive. I even wrote an article and posted it to my blog that I felt if anybody has any questions about golf being on the upswing or trending up, be at this year's show because it was very positive.
Yeah, as always, the PGA did a wonderful job putting it on. Everything was executed to a T. Great guests. I mean, you walk around, you're seeing tour players and celebrities and folks from the Golf Channel that you normally you watch on TV. So just a very, very fun week. And for me, I was able to bring in a number of guests that are involved with our organization who have never been before. And to see them at the end of the day, how wide-eyed they were, that they had no idea what they were getting into and what to expect. And it was very cool. I know Nishika, that was her first time at the PGA Show, and I'm sure we can touch on that later with her. But, she another person that experienced it for the first time and walked away with a wealth of knowledge.
Yes, and on the other side of that, we were able to talk with Joe Steranka, who is also associated with Golf Life Navigators, who was at the show for his 29th year and actually was in charge of running the show for many years as the executive director of the PGA of America. And he was able to tell us a little bit about the history of the show and where it's been, where it's come from. And he is always amazed at how the show has grown over the years.
Well, Jason, let's get right to our interviews from the PGA show. The first on tap is Brian Smith, and it will lead directly to interviews with Jim Walsh, Golf Life Navigators co-founder Lynn Josephson, Mike Hunter, and Joe Steranka.
Brian, I think this was your first time at the show. What did you think about it?
It is. It's an amazing show. It's very impressive how many people are there, how many different types of golf-related businesses that there are that I didn't even know existed. It's been a very exciting experience, and it's just been great to be part of GLP.
How did you get involved with them, and what is your role with that?
Started off in a consulting role, kind of evolved into a full-time role, and everything from strategic planning to marketing. Kind of fell in love with the guys, fell in love with the business model. What's there not to like about golf, real estate, and wealth? A great market to be in the markets that we focus on. And so that was really what drew me there, and that's what keeps me there and keeps me happy.
Let me ask you one more question. How did you get started playing golf? How did your interest get piqued with that?
I started to play with my stepdad when I was a kid. My father died when I was young, and then my mom got remarried, and the thing that we had in common was golf. That was the time that we spent together. We'd go out and, you know, start playing nine holes, and then we started doing little tournaments and things like that, and then it's just been a passion of mine for, you know, my entire life.
Well, thank you. We're glad to get to meet you here, and we wish all the best for you and Golf Life Navigators.
Thank you.
We're talking with Jim Walsh, who is a part of Golf Life Navigators. And, Jim, we have to allow for a little bit for him because he's from Michigan. He's a Michigan State guy. So, Jim, welcome to Back Nine Report.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. Go green. Yeah, I come down here to support Jason and Golf Life Navigators, and when he approached me a couple years ago on his concept, not only did I invest into him, I invested into his vision, and that's why I'm here today. I had an opportunity to check out the merchandise show that golf puts on every year down here at Orlando, and wow, it's overwhelming.
Did you get around the whole show today?
No, there's a lot of walking, a lot of things to look at. You lose focus. I mean, I'm try to be an avid golfer myself, but you lose the focus on how tees are made, how they're distributed, all the way up to, you know, building clubs and stuff, and you just take for granted on how large this golf family is and the merchandise.
What was one thing that sticks in your mind that you remember from the show?
I guess the presentations. I spent a lot of time in the equipment stage, and it looks like the work and the effort, the supporting cast of all these brands, the work that they put into it, that shows that golf's here to stay. That's what impressed me the most.
Now, you're from Michigan. Are you involved in the golf business up in Michigan?
I am not. I got into this, like I said before, just Jason's vision. I'm an equity partner. But, yes, I'm an avid golfer, and eventually in the future here in three or four more years, I'd like to use Jason's platform as to go into Golf Life Fitness, and that's what I want to pursue.
Well, again, we're talking to Jim Walsh from the great state of Michigan, part of Golf Life Navigators here at the PGA Golf Show. And thanks a lot for taking time to talk with us.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
We are talking with one of the founders of Golf Life Navigators, Lynn Josephson, here at the PGA Show in Orlando, Florida. Lynn, it's great to finally meet you face-to-face. Yeah, I know you were walking around the show today. What did you think of that?
It's always good to come up here and see what's going on and see all the people that we know and reconnect.
You've been in the golf business for some time. What's your background in the golf business?
You know, I got very lucky and found Naples, Florida in 1974 when I first got into the golf business. And I was just at the right place at the right time, and I worked for some really good people. The developer of Windermere Country Club in 1976. And then we went out and started Old Florida Golf Club and a couple of other clubs. But I was at the right place at the right time, and I've been selling memberships for a long time, and I just enjoy working in the people business.
I know Jason came up with the concept of Global Life Navigators from some master's work that he was doing, and you actually jumped on board with that. What did you see in that you thought would be a great plan going forward for retirees and for Florida golf?
When Jason came to me with the business proposal, I told him, I said, number one, it's a great concept, but number two, it was he that I wanted to become a business partner with. Jason's a very unique individual. He graduated number one in his class from Florida Gulf Coast University in the first graduating class at FGCU. Jason just had, and he did an internship with us at Golf Club of the Everglades, and you could just tell that there was something special about him. He likes doing all the things I don't like to do, and I do some of the things that he doesn't like to do, and it's a great partnership.
Golf Life Navigators is seeing some great success, really helping retirees get settled into the right clubs, into the right real estate here in Florida. So we wish you all the success going forward.
Thank you, Fred, and I just want to tell you how much I enjoy your podcast. They're very well done, and I'm greatly appreciative of it.
That's the Guide to Success for Golf Life Navigators that we publish every couple weeks. So watch for those on Twitter and Facebook and the Golf Life Navigators website. Thank you very much, Lynn. talking to Mike Hunter, who's involved with Golf Life Navigators. And Mike, I've picked up a strange accent from you. I don't think you're from the United States.
No, south side of Atlanta, Georgia. No, I'm joking. From Carnoustie, Scotland. Carnoustie's home. Been in the United States for 25 years and now living in Blacksburg, Virginia. Actually manage a North American clientele, private membership with the Eden Club from St Andrews, Scotland, and over for the golf show, do meetings, and long-time friend of Lynn, my ex-boss, and Lynn Josephson for me is basically one of these people that's the heart and soul of the golf business, and he's such a great people person, and why could you not want to be involved in Golf Life Navigators?
You said you lived in Naples for a time. But you also said something about Carnoustie in there. And when I hear Carnoustie, I conjure up visions of Jean Vandeveld and Burns and all that kind of thing.
Every golfer that now goes to Carnoustie, it's not what you shoot. You've got to make double bogey or better on 18. And if you've done that, you've done what Vandeveld couldn't do to win the Open. So that's the great story of Carnoustie. Is the only second-place golfer in history that will be forever remembered. The penthouse suite at Carnoustie Hotel now. Tom Watson won there. Ben Hogan won there. This penthouse suite is the Vandeveld suite. So,
Mike, you said you moved over here from Scotland. Why? What brought you to the United States in the first place?
Well, originally I was an amateur snooker player in the UK and wasn't good enough in that department. So came to the United States. First time ever seen a pool table with large pockets, like putting into a 12-inch cup. Everything changes, and believed in my eyes that I could make a living at the game. Anyway, went on a roll for about 15 years. Was ranked top 8 in the world in the game of 9-ball. Also played 8-ball, representing my country in 2 world championships. Played on live television in China in front of 70 million people. You know, I ended up basically winning a lot of titles, over 13 titles all over the world. And it was a great, great time, something I'll never forget. But... you know, corporate America didn't get involved in pool, so the money was never quite there, and veered back into the golf business and back to my roots.
Now, does that, the angles and the things that you see on a pool table, does that help you at all putting the golf ball?
I'm about a 5 handicap, and I would say the strongest part of my game was putting, because I see exactly the same things on a pool table. And I'll leave this with you, and this is very interesting. A lot of people forgot about this. Nick Faldo, who won the Masters, Ian Woosnam, who won the Masters, both prior to going to Augusta, could only find the green speeds of Augusta on the top of a snooker table. So they stood on top of a snooker table and basically putted into small pockets, which the speed of a pool table runs about 15 on your stimp on a green, and went on to win the Masters. So yes, putting and snooker and pool are really a lot in common.
Tell us a little bit about your golf game. Let's, you know, growing up over there, learning to play in such historic venues, how do you find golf here in the U.S.?
I love golf in the United States. I mean, fresh, and a lot of people don't understand. Lynx golf is a hard game. It's played in difficult conditions, windy conditions. So when you come over to America and you play in beautiful conditions, manicuring's gorgeous, perfect weather, I mean, how can you not love the game of golf? It does become easier. Carnoustie is a hard place to be brought up with a game of golf. At the same time, if you don't own a set of golf clubs in Carnoustie, you're a freak of nature. And even if you don't like the game, you must own a set of golf clubs. So,
now, is this your first trip to the PGA Golf Show?
No, I think I've been here probably now about 7 or 8 years running. Always like to come see what's innovative and new, and we have a lot of meetings, and it's just great to meet people in the business in general. And so far today was a good day. It looks like very busy. Always you try to track numbers and have a look if it's things are going on. The only thing for me is a little bit disappointing, but I think golf's come to a standstill as an equipment business. I always like to come to the trade show and leave with something like, I have to have that. And I just don't see that, and I think the rules of the game of golf has limited that. But I think the golf show was very good today, and I'm excited about the week.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for taking a minute to talk to us, and we're glad you're a transported person here in the United States now. So I think we're maybe better off for that.
Cheers. Thank you.
the great privilege of talking to the ex-CEO of PGA of America, Joe Steranko. Joe, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us.
No, great to be here. This is always an annual revival for the sport and the industry of golf. It's the largest gathering of PGA professionals and really leaders from a global business that is $100 billion a year that come from 80 countries all to Orlando, Florida. And 43,000 strong, they go out to demo day and then to the Orange County Convention Center, and it is a homecoming. We get to reconnect with our friends in the golf business and see what's coming around the corner that might make our businesses better at the game of golf.
So you've been involved here for about 29 years at the show, and so you've seen a tremendous amount of growth. Over the years, what kind of sticks out in your mind is some of the really key things that have happened and really neat things that you've been involved in?
Well, golf grew from this boutique sport. Club manufacturers had their sales reps that brought their cars and backed them up underneath the Ringling and Brothers Barnum and Bailey circus tent at the very first PGA show. Today it's a million square feet of space and brings hard goods companies that are now hiring aerospace engineers to work on drag and lift, fashion companies that are really bringing the most modern, technically superior fabrics and also, you know, world-class fashion style to the game of golf. And then the third part is the services industry that drives golf as a lifestyle. And that's, you know, the thing that I'm most proud of here this week is this company, Golf Life Navigators, that is hit a bullseye, you know, in terms of serving the golf lifestyle.
Over the years, you've seen tremendous ups and downs with the economy in golf. You know, we've been kind of in a downturn from 2009. My personal view is that we've bottomed, we're on the upswing, especially with these four young guys that are doing great things on the PGA Tour right now. They're bringing in a new audience. What is your feeling where the golf industry is right now?
Well, I actually look at, you know, golf like many other industries, whether it was the tech industry or the real estate industry. We had our own little bubble effect in the 90s with Tiger Woods coming on the scene and him becoming one of those one-name icons, you know, like Sting or Madonna. And you know, so to have a star that really crossed over generations and races and country affiliations and became a global superstar helped our game. We had the Golf Channel come in as a 24/7 promotional arm for the sport. And new money that came from corporate America that saw golf as a way to tap into the passion that the 25 million people who play the game have. And we support brands that, you know, talk to us as golfers. We know that golf is very special in our lives. And so for those companies who take the time to learn how to connect with us through the game of golf, we're going to support. By and large, you know, that same 25 million core has stayed. Yes, we've lost some of the fringe players. You know, the total number of stores, if you want to call it, in terms of golf courses are down 6% from the top of the market. But it's actually probably a positive correction in supply and demand. So I think, yes, you spoke to the big four. You couldn't draw a better roadmap to have these young millennials who are very different and yet all interesting and exciting. And then to see these young women on the LPGA Tour come in and add their own spin on the game and their interest as American stars. Golf coming into the Olympics this year, this compact schedule that is going to throw a lot of major championship golf and Olympics and a Ryder Cup together, it's shaping up to be a heck of a year. So, yes, I feel very good about where golf is today.
Let's talk just a second about Golf Life Navigators. How did you get involved with the company, and what do you see its effect in the golf industry?
Very simple. Jason and Lynn, golf is a big business. We're proud that it's a $68 billion a year industry, but at the end of the day, it comes down to relationships. Saw in the leadership team of Lynn Josephson and Jason Becker a multi-generational approach to golf that I was going to respect its traditions and yet push it to a new level, with the idea that you could build a service business around taking care of boomers from the Northeast and Midwest corridors who are looking to finally take some time and relax and play some golf and enjoy good weather. Times the best ideas are the most simple. So I think it was right in front of a lot of people, but these were two guys who knew how to execute it. And I'm proud of what they've done. And I think you're going to see in the years to come it go beyond Florida and maybe beyond the United States someday and serve a broad clientele of people that are looking to, you know, cash in some of that hard work they've done and go, you know, make that the biggest decision that we're all going to make. Is where we're going to enjoy the rest of our lives, and Golf Life Navigators is the company to do that.
Well, Joe, it was certainly a pleasure getting to meet you this evening, and thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Next up on our show today, we are very happy to be talking Florida real estate with Nashika Green, a broker and chief compliance officer with Golf Life Properties. Nashika, could you give our listeners a little background on your career in the real estate world and what you're doing with Golf Life Properties?
Sure, I'd be happy to. My career in real estate began almost 16 years ago now in the state of Maryland, where I'm from. In the early days, I worked primarily with buyers and sellers of distressed properties, and from there I went on to become a liaison with the local board of realtors and the city of Baltimore to help them streamline the process of selling 5,000 city-owned properties. Through a program we called Project Scope, which was selling city-owned properties efficiently. From there, I relocated to South Florida almost 10 years ago now, when I focused more a little bit on the training side of it, training real estate professionals and helping to match consumers interested in buying and selling their homes with qualified real estate agents. Currently, I'm providing hands-on training to our Golf Life real estate agents, ensuring that they have the latest tools and expertise available to them, and I'm also an instructor at the Greater Fort Lauderdale Association of Realtors.
So you have a pretty detailed history, experience. You know what you're talking about. You've been in the area. So anyone that's looking to head down that way, you would be a great resource person to find out more about Southwest Florida real estate for sure. With that in mind, what do you feel is the current state of Florida real estate market as you see it right now, and especially maybe targeting median home values maybe from $200,000 to $500,000, which probably the average retiree maybe is kind of looking at when they're thinking about relocating or entering their retirement years?
Sure. Well, what we're seeing now in the market, in the current real estate market, we're seeing great opportunities. There are some increases in value that are taking place. In that $200,000 to $500,000 range, I'd say we're seeing increases as high as 16-17%, looking at the same time last year. And homes are selling, in fewer days on the market. For sellers, it's quite the opportunity. And even for buyers, it's a wonderful time to really start to learn more about what's available here in South Florida, and starting to just figure out whether or not this is the time to begin looking at downsizing or in the future even, just to have a sense of what's happening in the current market now.
Yeah, you mentioned with this rising market, are you seeing current residents maybe seizing the opportunity of a slight uptick in the pricing to maybe sell their current home and maybe either downsize or even move up into a larger place?
We are seeing some of that. Overall, inventory is a little low. We don't see as many homes come on the market as we did, say, the same time last year. But with the increase in value, we are seeing more owners begin to talk or move up those timelines if they are considering downsizing to see if, now is the time to take action.
Could you give the listeners maybe a tip or two on how to posture your home or prepare it ahead of placing it on the market?
The number one tip would be to open up the lines of communication, to begin that dialogue, to start talking now with a real estate professional about, what the next steps will be in terms of both the home's value and perhaps any improvements that an owner may want to make before introducing the property to the market. I know quite often homeowners, you know, they consider a sale or they think about downsizing, but knowing that it's not in the immediate future, they kind of put it off a little bit before reaching out to anyone. But now is always a great time to start that conversation. Even if the process, you know, is a little further down the road, we always invite folks to call us so that we can talk more about, again, both the current market and the trends that we're seeing year over year.
Often consumers are maybe leery of working with a realtor out of fear that their best interests may be compromised. You know, can you give our listeners some advice on how you find the right realtor to fit their need?
That's a great question because I know very often there is that hesitation that real estate agents aren't looking out for their best interests. And there are many relationships that people have with realtors who could be friends or family members, but not necessarily who they would consider to be trusted advisors. So I think the right fit really is getting to know the local experts, those who are, you know, intimately familiar with the local communities and the, again, the market, the current real estate market, but also real estate professionals who specialize in a buyer or a seller's specific needs. Not all real estate professionals know golf club communities or know the processes that we do, you know, here at Golf Life Properties to kind of help streamline some of what all can take place. So I think they get concerned, and understandably so, based on all the uncertainty. But again, I think that's why it's always time to open up the lines of communication. And from there, I think they'll find the right fit just based on beginning to get to know those specialists in the local area.
I think you kind of touched on this just briefly in your comments, but how have you become involved with Golf Life Properties, and what makes that such a unique organization in your mind?
Trained real estate professionals across the country in a number of local markets, and Golf Life Properties is very unique in that we take a very detailed consultative approach when we're working with both buyers and sellers. You know, we're not just asking how many bedrooms and how many bathrooms. We want to know about family's individual lifestyle needs and how to help them plan to create memories, you know, in these homes. So I think that's one of the things that really makes us stand out in Golf Life, at Golf Life Properties. It makes us unique. The service that we offer isn't based on a one-time transaction. Our clients are our clients for life, and we take great pride in the level of service that we provide. So, you know, we're not into trying to increase the number of sales. We're looking, again, to build relationships as trusted advisors, and that's very unique in the real estate marketplace.
Quality over quantity is mm-hmm. the key word there, and stressing the mission of Golf Life Navigators, solving each individual's questions, answering their questions, solving their problems, and getting them into the right property. Jason, anything that you would like to ask Nishika before we let her go?
Yeah, I would just add, Fred, that so how we work so collaboratively together is when someone comes and they start inquiring around about what golf communities to look into, the Golf Life Navigators team, comprised of PGA professionals, we go through all the golf questions, and it will touch a little bit on, you know, the home search as well. And we know that, you know, 85% of our people that are calling us want to parlay that search. They want to have just one under one umbrella, one group, one team working for them to expedite the process. And so after consultation, the PGA staff will take that information from the client and sit round table with the property staff and really go into granular detail what the PGA staff feels would be, you know, three or four really good communities. The property staff can then take that information and say, okay, let's look in these communities and see if there's any homes in there that meet their overall expectations. So if you're the consumer and you're coming down here from Toledo, now you're looking at three to four golf communities and three or four properties before and after the round, and really, really expediting the entire process. But more importantly, you have one team talking the golf language, working together, and being nimble at the same time based on, you know, what your life needed. So all in all, it's just a wonderful program that we've built, and thanks to Nishika, we've been able to train all of our real estate agents to really speak the golf language, work at the ethics that the PGA adheres to, and really hammer home on compliance and everything that we want to be known for going forward in the future. I do have one question for Nishika, though, Fred, if we have time.
Sure.
You know, one of the things I see I've heard from consumers when they're coming down here is that they're not really sure whether they're going to make a cash buy or finance the purchase. And from a real estate side, that's kind of important to know in the beginning, is it not, because of overall time on the market and the different avenues you have to go down when you're working with a client?
Yes, that's a great question. It is important to know earlier on in the process, and we're happy to help, facilitate introductions in the way of financing locally, or if, folks are relocating and they have their own financing in place from other places, we can help bring that all together. We do see a number of cash transactions as well. And as I said, when we're seeing increases in value and we have fewer inventory on the market, if it comes to be a situation where an owner is trying to decide, whether to accept one offer over another, some of the terms become more important as they make that evaluation. So they do consider, whether or not a buyer will be financing the purchase, if there are any contingencies with that, if they need to sell a home up north before they'll be able to be approved for financing to buy a home down here in South Florida, or if it's going to be a cash purchase, the financing is no longer a contingency. So that's a question we definitely need to discuss earlier on, but we can help definitely to kind of take the stress out of some of that just by discussing it early in the process and figuring out, which options work best.
Well, thank you so much, Nishika. If anyone would like to contact her, they can find her at golflifenavigators.com. Click on the Properties tab at the top of the page. She is with Golf Life Properties, the real estate side of the business. And so, Jason, I believe that wraps up another edition of Guide to Success. Do you have any parting thoughts before we close out the show today?
No, Fred, it was another great show. It's been a fun 2 weeks with the PGA show, and we're in full stride down here in South Florida for the season. I learned this morning that our population has tripled, believe it or not, just in the last month with those visiting. So anybody and everybody's down here, and you can certainly see that on I-95 and I-75. Is one who travels it a lot. So we need to get you down here to thaw out a little bit and play some golf.
I'm all about it. Just let me know. Guide to Success endeavors to bring you the best real estate and financial advice when planning for your retirement. Plus, Golf Life Navigator's mission is to understand your needs and desires to assure every retiree is matched with the perfect golf community to achieve a comfortable and enjoyable retirement to Florida. Visit their website, golflifenavigators.com. Until next time, this is Fred Albader along with Jason Becker, wishing you all the best and hope you only find fairways and green.
Thanks for listening to Golf Life Navigators Guide to Success. For more insights or to get started with the Golf Life Navigators team, visit golflifenavigators.com and subscribe to the Golf Life Navigators podcast on TuneIn.